All right, welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Perloff here in the New York studio. Maggie Gray at the home office. So, Maggie, there's nothing better than a confident Aaron Rodgers. You know, the guy has not stopped talking for the last 2 years, and he hasn't even played football. Now he's out there after three games. He is balling. I saw you predicted that he might win the MVP. Was he your MVP choice?
Now I feel like I'm you. Who was my MVP choice?
Wait, you mentioned that, and I
comeback
said
comeback player of the year.
I said there's no way Aaron Rodgers is going to get enough reps, and they're not going to throw the ball enough for him to win the MVP. I still kind of believe that, but he apparently is skyrocketing up the charts in that regard. He has 5 touchdowns, 1 pick. Looked really good last week. We'll see how it lasts here. But I got to tell you, you can already tell the attitude is oozing in Jets camp from Rodgers. He's talking as if he is very confident. Do you agree with that, Meg?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Rodgers has always been a really confident guy, and rightfully so. He's got the hardware, he's got the Super Bowl, he's got the accolades, he knows he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and I think everyone in the Jets building is just dying to eat it up.
Yeah.
And you go out to San Francisco, you lose, you get run all over, not sure that Rodgers can move. Tennessee, that was kind of a weird game, they won it at the end, and then they basically just had their get-right game against New England. Now, what remains to be seen is whether New England's going to be a get-right game for a lot of people.
And, absolutely.
You know, I think maybe New England had a good first two games, and I don't know if this is actually who they kind of really are, is who the Jets sort of destroyed last week. But yeah, Rodgers is super confident. And, you know, it's funny because we're going to play a clip for you from Rodgers' appearance on Pat McAfee from yesterday, and the article that they're referencing here that called out the Jets culture and said there were big problems in the building is actually from a couple weeks ago. So this is not something that was written yesterday or 2 days ago. This is not something that was written since they won this game against the Patriots. But let's hear what Rodgers had to say about an article that called out the Jets culture. Nico, go ahead.
I would say the culture is about the opposite of what that article said.
No.
I didn't read the article, but just reading that headline there, sounds like it was written by Hassan Reddick's agent. In a way to... But former agent, I guess, possibly, in a way to try and disparage our great organization.
Our great organization. He's like, he's been a Jet for life. So Hassan Reddick, of course, the pass rusher who's still holding out of Jets camp, saying, but Maggie, you know how these reports work. I know he was kidding, but that probably is where that report might have come from. It was The Athletic, right? It was Ben Standing, I believe, wrote the Jets story saying that there was a lot of chaos behind the scenes. And the fact that they're 2-1, Rodgers, this is a pure victory lap. I have no problem with him doing this, but do you have a problem with him sort of throwing a teammate, even though he's not actually on the field, under the bus?
Well, maybe, but, you know, if he's right and Hassan Reddick has actually switched agents, first of all, what were you doing this whole time? You're now missing game checks. In for a penny, in for a pound, dude. Now you're going to switch agents and you're going to come back with no contract and now you're going to play? What a gigantic waste of time that whole exercise was. But that aside, I mean, that's more for the hardcore Jets fans. I mean, that aside, I don't really mind it. I don't mind a confident Rodgers and them feeling themselves because there's no other place where the confidence is going to come from the Jets. It's not going to come from the head coach, Robert Saleh, who, despite a winning record, may be on the hot seat. It's not going to come from their offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. It's not going to come from Garrett Wilson. It's not going to come from any of these guys. It's either going to be him or nothing. So he's got to go out there and lead. Now, the other thing, though, about Rodgers saying, that article was totally wrong. By the way, I didn't read the article. This is the second time one of those things has burned him. He had to backtrack a little bit last year when there was an article written where they said, oh, all these unnamed sources, all these anonymous sources. It was Kalen Kaler's piece, and there was not one unnamed source, not one anonymous source. Everyone was on the record in that article, and they kind of had to backtrack. So if I'm Rodgers and I'm Mr. Go Educate Yourself and Do Your Own Research, you got to go beyond the headline if you're going to answer that criticism that confidently. But again, like Perloff, you kind of called it. If they're winning, Rodgers is going to be able to say whatever he wants and people are going to go along with it. And to be honest, on the scale of 1 to 10 on bat bleep crazy things that Aaron Rodgers has said, this one is pretty benign. you know, wait till we get a real crazy Aaron Rodgers quote. And if we're really going to test the fan base and really going to test the NFL, if people will criticize him, even if they're winning.
You know, Maggie, not everybody here is totally okay with Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, talking big game, possibly criticizing a teammate who they probably need at this point. It'd be nice to have Hassan Reddick out on the field. EJ, you're a Jets fan. Is this a little too much from Aaron Rodgers?
This guy, his whole personality is, I'm the too online guy. I think the problem with Aaron Rodgers is, like people online, he wants to stunt in the end zone. He wants to tell everybody he's right. He wants to do a victory lap before there's ever even been a victory. Like, you are 3 weeks into the NFL season. We know the Jets' history. Who's to say the Jets won't be in disarray by the time we get to week 10, 11, or 12? Like, and it just goes back to kind of all the stuff he does where he always wants to prove he's right or go back and say, actually, I was right about this thing. You guys said I was wrong. And he wants to go. Now, I know he was queued up a little bit with the article, but like most quarterbacks, like we talked about yesterday with Dak Prescott, they'd be like, yeah, you know, that article was nonsense, but, you know, we're moving on. We're just trying to win games. No, he has to go out there and say, oh, yeah, that was the complete opposite of what was happening. In fact, I think that article was from my teammate's agent who we're trying to get back into the fold. You may need this guy. We just lost Jermaine Johnson, okay? Yep. We're low on the defensive line in terms of depth at this point, and you're going to just blast him, put his information on blast that we didn't know his agent was fired, if he was indeed fired. And with Rodgers, in effect, excuse me, in the facts, we know that could be a little, you know, dicey. That guy very well could still be Hassan Reddick's agent. So for me, it just bothers me with Rodgers because it feels like, while this may be small now, it kind of, to me, kind of like previews what may be coming in the future if the Jets are 9-3 or whatever. And then he really starts putting himself out there. And he may start creating distractions that don't have to be there.
Well, yeah, like Tom Brady would never say anything about a teammate's money. Yeah. Like, the great quarterbacks are famously defer any real answers. Now, Rodgers is not them. But, Maggie, do you think that Rodgers should be more like Brady and just say nothing? Like, he could have answered that question a million different ways, but he had to take a shot. I think, and you mentioned he had to take a shot at the media, too. Is this working for him?
I mean, you're asking someone to completely change course on who they are, you know? Like, he can't hold it in anymore. I don't. Maybe he did when he was, you know, in Green Bay in the early years, but this is who he's been for a while, guys. Like, it's going to be his version of the truth, and as far as this Jets team is concerned, his version of the truth is the truth, because they want whatever he's selling and projecting and all of that stuff. This is, you know, I'm watching, you know, famous Jets fan like Mike Greenberg and others saying this is the greatest Jets quarterback performance I've ever seen in my life. And he's not wrong. And that was week three against the Patriots. I think the Jets were more than willing to give Rodgers every key to every door in the facility. He can play GM. He can play offensive coordinator. He can play PR guy. He can play whatever role he wants to play in the organization. Hell, he can basically play ownership at this point. And they were more than happy to hand over the keys. And again, this to me isn't even that bad. Wait till we got a whole election to go through. I mean, wait till we get some real Aaron Rodgers quotes. I don't think that we've been tested. And by the way, to EJ's point, he's right about this. It doesn't take a massive pressure point to bring the Jets down like a house of cards. This is not an organization that is built on a very solid foundation. And they have a way of making small stories huge, massive, much bigger than they need to be. And so Rodgers, you know, I would be a little concerned about that. You know, he thinks that he's this sort of, you know, not omnipotent, but that he can sort of control everything. And if he hasn't learned that already in New York, you can't do that. It's going to be out of your hands. It's a leaky building. People are always trying to CYA, cover their butt. And people leak things to the media all the time in the Jets organization. So I don't know if he understands what he's up against, potentially.
We'll see. I mean, they got Denver. They're 7-point favorites, open at 7.5. I think he's going to 3-1 here. He's going to get Nathaniel Hackett revenge game. You're right, Maggie. I think he's going to get much more confident, and he's going to say a lot of things. I hope he stays out of the election. It's been a wonky couple weeks for his guy, RFK Jr. We won't get into that because this is a family show.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, it's a family show. But Rodgers, I hope it is more interesting when he plays well. All right, another quarterback situation that we started the show with, Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson. Maggie thinks that they should just name Justin Fields a starter. He is 3-0. He is playing well. He is actually throwing the ball over the middle of the field. I say Be indecisive. Why say anything? Let's go to Kevin in Oregon. Kevin, what do you think the Steelers should do about their quarterback situation?
Well, first of all, Maggie, I hope you're feeling better soon. And if Perloff welches on the bet, I'll DoorDash you an egg McMuffin, okay?
Kevin, that's kind of you. Not necessary. I will hold Perloff hostage for that $2.99.
All right. Well, I hope so. Let me know if he doesn't. Now, look at this. The Pittsburgh Steelers, it's an Arthur Smith-run offense. I mean, hell, Muggsy Bogues could be the quarterback, and they'd be 3-0 at this point. I don't think Justin Fields or Russell Wilson is going to make any difference. They don't need to have a good or even a great quarterback in that system. I think they'll do just fine if they continue to play good defense.
I mean, Muggsy Bogues, Kyler Murray's having enough trouble. You think you put Muggsy Bogues under center? Why did you pull that name?
I don't know. 5'3", he could hide underneath the center. He doesn't even need to do a tush push. He just has to run under the tush. He can make first.
Yeah, like a specialist. Somebody signs Muggsy Bogues to sneak under. That is a brilliant idea, Kevin. All right, buddy. Thank you for the call. Maggie, he's right, by the way. This is not all about Justin Fields. They are only scoring 17 points a game in Pittsburgh. Why do you have to name him the starting quarterback now? What do you gain from that?
Well, are you expecting things to look all that different with Russell Wilson? This is what they want to run. They want it to look like this. They want the defense to be the star. And right now, the defense has been the star. Listen, if they really wanted to make sure they had a great quarterback this offseason, they wouldn't have brought in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
Actually, what other options did they have, realistically? They couldn't draft somebody.
No, but I mean, these are two guys who are were fighting for their NFL careers. These weren't guys who were like coming off of these high notes, right?
So, well, yeah, I mean, but they could have kept Kenny Pickett.
I still don't understand why they didn't. And I think they were probably a little concerned when they said, we're going to bring in Russell Wilson, and Kenny Pickett said, then trade me. And I think he didn't fight for the job or what have you. Or maybe they had already told him, hey, we're moving on from you. I thought it was kind of a crime that you are going to move on from Pickett that easily, but then Pickett was okay being a backup. So I'm not sure what to make of that, dude.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in Philly camp said Pickett was outplayed by Tanner McKee. I don't think Pickett has the goods. I think the Steelers knew that, and that's why they brought in these guys. All right, let's go to John in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on Aaron Rodgers. John, what do you think of Rodgers' latest statements on his teammate, Hassan Reddick?
We give him the mic way too much, kind of like that orange guy. I told your producer, I don't want to talk politics, but you know, he throws something out there and we jump on it like shark bait. And you know, he's always on Pat McAfee. You know, Pat McAfee worships at the feet of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, just like listens to everything he says. And if we just kind of, I don't know, do we have to listen to him? Can we just like go interview somebody else? Can we get somebody else to talk to?
John, that's not how this works, and you know it.
I know it's exactly not how it works. We love to listen. And also on your last caller, Muggsy Bogues got benched in favor of Andy Dalton. So,
and we're
kind of glad. I like Muggsy, but hey, I like redheads, so he's go Andy. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, John. Is that
amazing call?
I don't know what to say to him. I think he's right, and I think we're part of it, Maggie. I mean, Aaron Rodgers probably eats up too much of the oxygen in the media space, but it's kind of hard to resist.
Yeah, because he actually says stuff, right?
Yeah.
If we wanted just like the platitudes and the quarterback speak, and you know, a lot of guys are doing that. And by the way, they're doing it younger and younger now. Have you talked to like a high school quarterback?
Yeah.
It basically looks like they've been through media training. They run for Senate. It's and I get it, because there's a lot more eyeballs and social media criticism, and you feel like you have to be perfect and the CEO, even though, you know, that's not generally what we've always wanted from our athletes. So Rodgers says interesting things, but you got to take it all.
Well, that's,
you know?
That's Bryce Young, by the way, who you just described. I mean, he's the best interview. People call him the CEO, like he was perfect. And I think teams want something different. Like let's be realistic. Teams don't care what you say as long as you can play, right? At the end of the day, if Rodgers keeps playing like this, he can pull out any conspiracy theory he wants. And you said the Jets are willing to give him the whole key to the franchise. Do they care?
No, Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can say, like, some, I think the person besides Aaron Rodgers, who said some very controversial things this offseason, for sure. The other person in the NFL who said things that really were, you know, loved by some people and really disliked by other people is Harrison Butker. And not only did they give him a contract extension and a raise, he's out there every week. So, no, I think as long as you're performing, that's totally fine. And the thing about Rodgers is, you know, it's just the level of stardom that he has. And so you think it, he, you know, we pay attention. As far as the Bryce Young thing, though, I feel like people in Carolina now are thrilled with your boy Andy Dalton. And I don't want to, like, tap dance on, you know, Bryce Young and say, oh, I knew or I saw it. I think he was failed at every point. But the season is live now for the Carolina Panthers. This just got a way more fun, not another team that's going to be racing to the bottom.
Well, I'm a little bummed. My guy, Adam Thielen, who's not exactly a spring chicken, but they desperately need him. He's out with a hamstring injury. Looked like he got shot when he caught that ball in the end zone. It's going to be a little tough for Andy Dalton. You know, Cincinnati, I think it's this week's opponent. They are going to 0-3. That is going to be a desperate team. I you know, a big fan. I don't think I'm going to bet the over on all the Andy Dalton numbers because it is still Carolina, right? Like, I hear what you're saying. Like, do you think Panthers fans think they're in it? Are they in it?
Well, first of all, I don't know if I'd love that because if we're playing the long game here, and if you've taught me anything about the process, yeah, it's you've got to get another bite at the apple with a quarterback. So you actually want to be bad.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
In that sense, it's like a bad move, I thought, organizationally, but they're so sick of losing, so I can kind of understand it. As far as this weekend, you said you're not going to bet any Andy Dalton overs. I mean, Jaden Daniels just had a game of a lifetime,
yeah,
against Cincinnati. I don't think that defense is what we thought it was. By the way, just one stat that I saw about 0-3 teams, I saw this on ESPN, have made the playoffs 6 times in the Super Bowl era.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know it's different now because we have an extra wild card and all that,
yep,
but and an extra game. But still, that is not boding well. It's not like the Bengals play in this bad, crap division.
Nope.
I mean, the Ravens may have turned their season around with that game against the Cowboys. And the Ravens weren't a bad team to begin with. They were just kind of getting some bad luck at the end of games.
Yeah, I mean, to me, one of the issues with the Bengals was all that contract talk in the offseason. I thought they'd all turn it around and quickly be ready. But I feel like, I mean, T. Higgins was hurt, I'll be fair, but it didn't feel like he was fully dedicated to the team this offseason. And Chase was actually good last week, but he's been on and off. So they're my Super Bowl pick, Maggie, so we got to look for a silver lining here. Once they all get settled in, once again, I mean, we've seen Joe Burrow and that Bengals team go from bad to good, like turning a switch, and they were really good against the Chiefs. That team, I know they should have won that game. They just had a rookie who was way too deep in his coverage on a key play. They could have won that game, and then everything looks different.
You're right, but as we move forward and as we see the defense and we see how they're going to play, are they a little bit still dining out too much on the team that got to the Super Bowl? And Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and now that's fine. But on the defensive side, did you allow yourself maybe to not reinvent anything you were doing or trying to do the same thing that you did that Super Bowl year and maybe it's just not working now?
Yeah.
Like the whole mythological flipping of the switch type thing. I think if that was real, I think we would have seen Cincinnati take care of business on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone saw, including Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, saw Jaden Daniels coming like that. They need Trey Hendrickson to get to the quarterback every time or that defense is in trouble. All right, coming up, we have another very surprising team that might be looking at quarterback. Maybe one of the weirdest QB rooms in the NFL and one of the toughest offseason decisions we've seen in a long time. That's coming up next here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. In last segment, we got into Bryce Young a little bit, and Maggie, you had a really interesting point that the Panthers might not want to start Andy Dalton because they could use a bad record to get into the draft. But there is a funny group of teams who might be looking quarterback now. I think Miami with Tua, who knows about that one? They might not win a lot of games, and they just signed Tua to this massive contract. They seem to not be willing to admit that he has a health problem. But how about Cleveland? Deshaun Watson has not played well. Maggie, do you think that is a team that could possibly be in the draft market come next April?
Absolutely. And I'll go a step further. They should be. If Deshaun continues to play this way, how much longer are we going to say, oh, the Houston Texans version of Deshaun Watson is right around the corner? You just have no evidence of that anymore. That guy is long gone. So Deshaun doesn't become a full free agent until after the 2026 season. So that's after this year, that's 2 years. You know, you draft a quarterback, and even if he has to sit because Deshaun's contract is so wildly untradeable and he's uncuttable and all this dead cap and all this stuff we won't bore people with, but you've got to start thinking about the future and at some point just own up to the fact that you made a massive mistake, because Kevin Stefanski's on the hot seat and the GM, and you're just going to keep shuffling the deck chairs here. If the guy can't play, then you've got to cut your losses and try to start over with a QB. And I feel bad for Browns fans because you wanted to get off that carousel, right? All you desperately wanted to do was find a quarterback who could stick and who could actually be the franchise guy, not just revolving door of QBs. I don't think you found that guy.
Yeah, I agree. The way he's playing right now. Now, the deal, obviously, if they want to cut him post June 1, we're looking at like $72 million cap hits, $86 million per year in dead money. Now, the Broncos took on $80 million of dead money with Russell Wilson, and they seem to be in decent shape, because you're not going to pay a lot if you draft a quarterback. He's cost-controlled, and the cap keeps going up. Maybe you do cut him and take this massive, unparalleled cap hit. Do you think would it be better to just let him be a backup and then have a rookie come in, or would you cut him, take this ridiculous cap hit, and move on?
First of all, you got to be really confident in your job status to take on that kind of dead cap because Sean Payton could do that because they just traded, the Denver Broncos literally traded draft picks to get Sean Payton. Like, he's not going anywhere. So if he says, get Russ out of here, he's out. And that's exactly what they did. I don't know if the guys in Cleveland have that same kind of status. I don't think they have that same kind of security that Sean Payton is enjoying right now in Denver, where they can start over.
But Maggie, I mean, if they go, say, 3-14, then it might not be the same guys in Cleveland when these decisions have to be made. It might be a new GM.
Oh, no, it definitely will. That's what I'm saying. A new GM is going to have to say, all right, we'll take on $80 million a dead cap. I mean, you're really tying one hand behind your back as a GM if you're trying to impress your new bosses quickly.
Well, I think that might be something that they want to do, because don't you think that'd be awkward to have Deshaun Watson as a $70 million plus backup?
You know, and I don't know if Deshaun would even stand for it, right?
Yeah.
Because he didn't even want Joe Flacco as his backup because he thought it was going to be too, I don't know, like controversial. If he played badly, then the fan base would be clamoring for Flacco. Hell, the fan base is clamoring for Baker Mayfield to come back and save the franchise, and that's not happening. They want anyone there but Deshaun, it seems like.
Well, by the way, can I just say a couple things about the Browns, too? That offensive line has been terrible, so that is a confusing factor, too. And they should have beaten the Giants. I think it was, at least they should have been in it at the end of the game. Jerome Ford, I believe it was him, fumbled in the red zone. Like, it's not just Deshaun Watson. It's a little bit like we said about Bryce Young 2 weeks ago. There's all sorts of problems going on and a lot of health problems going on in Cleveland. So I think it is possible that you see a better version of Deshaun Watson. Is that a wildly too optimistic statement?
Well, here's the thing. Jerome Ford probably makes about $750,000 and Deshaun makes $50 million.
Right, but I mean, if you have no healthy linemen, your best running back, Nick Chubb, is injured, you know, you have probably made some bad decisions at wide receiver. Is there any quarterback? Is this a Browns thing? And in addition to being a Deshaun Watson thing?
I think it's all hand in hand, because you got to ask yourself, like, what is this contract doing in terms of our ability to sign other players? Are we here with these guys because we can't spread the wealth a little bit more because of all Deshaun's money? Now, the real big money, I feel like, doesn't even actually kick in until next year. They've restructured it already. But the bottom line is this. Deshaun's career's on life support. Let's just call it what it is. He got the money, despite the fact that, you know, all the off-field stuff that was going on. And then on the field, he has not delivered. So whether it's because the offensive line or the run game or whatever, at the end of the day, you're not getting the job done. So I think that he's the one who they're going to point to and say, wow, I think we made a massive mistake.
If you look at the Browns depth chart, on ESPN.com, for example, they put a red Q next to questionable players.
Sure.
You would think the team name is Q. I mean, there is not. First of all, the fact that Myles Garrett has all of a sudden this foot problem that we didn't know about, severe, real, real issue there. He's their best player by far. They're, every single offensive lineman has a Q. David Njoku's been in and out. Now Cooper is hurt. This is not looking good. Like, they might be real bad. So it's funny. What if we have the Panthers with Bryce Young, the Browns, and maybe Miami as the top three picks? I think it's going to be a wild draft season. I think we're going to have some quarterbacks, but there are going to be some interesting decisions. All right, Andrew Bogus, headlines. Are you going to do the Padres at some point, by the way? I actually researched some baseball today.
Everything is sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Swinging away, ground ball to Machado. He hits third, that's one. Goes to second in time. On to first, a triple play! A triple play! And the ball game is over! The Padres clinch a postseason berth on a 5-4-3 triple play.
Now leave me the bleep alone. Jesse Agler on Padres Radio. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts can't believe that's how they lost.
It's shocking. That's the least likely outcome. Obviously, you know, looking at how the game's played and how many triple plays are turned in a year.
So as far as anyone can tell, no team has ever clinched a playoff spot on a triple play before. It's only the third game-ending triple play in the last 30 seasons. The 4-2 final also moves San Diego within two games of L.A. in the NL West.
Can I give you guys a hot take, by the way?
Yeah.
Triple play is the best play in baseball, not the inside the park home run.
I think there are other plays, too. What about the grand slam?
I'm taking the triple play.
I would take the grand slam over the inside the park home run.
I mean, grand slams happen, probably 60 times a year? Like, triple play, three times in 30 years or whatever? Like, whenever I see this happen, I'm like, holy crap, I just can't believe it. Like, especially the one where you turn third, second, like, it's, I don't know. It's surprising, it's defense, I would say, but I don't know. Inside the parkers happen a lot, too.
This is the cream of the crop. This is a legit triple play, not like everybody's running and there's a line drive at the shortstop and they just easily like tag two guys and the play's over. Like, this is boom, boom, boom. This is the way you want to do it.
Like, this is like peak level baseball defense. I love it.
I think the most exciting play in baseball is when the guy jumps over the fence and robs a home run. EJ, I know you love that. Maggie, what's your favorite?
You guys have me thinking about this now. I don't think it's the triple play because you actually don't see it enough, right? Like, a grand slam happens just enough that's like, I could actually go to the ballpark and maybe I'll see a grand slam. Maybe. I don't go to the ballpark thinking, man, I might see a triple play today. It's just not even in my field of view. I think robbing a home run, like an Andy Chavez style, like really over the fence. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. I also like when somebody guns out someone from like center field or, you know, right field to third or something like that. That's also awesome.
How about stealing home?
It's another great one.
Rarely.
Cool. So we should do a poll here, EJ. But what? I mean, how many? You get three options.
So I'm doing triple play. I'll put inside the park. I'll do robbing a home run. Now we need a fourth. I kind of like the stealing home.
Not do robbing a home run. Do stealing home because it's something you can specifically score.
Okay.
No, you can do robbing a home run, too. There's four slots.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, I like that you said, as far as anyone knows, because you're saying like in 1867 a game might have ended. Why can't you just say that's the first time anyone's ever clinched a playoff spot?
Because this feels like a thing that we can't know for sure. But Elias says it's never happened before.
Why would we not be able to know for sure?
Because I don't know that they've Has every single Major League Baseball game going back into the late 1800s, has it been completely, correctly, fully fleshed out and scored, all that kind of stuff?
Interesting.
I trust them, but it's like there's always room for, like, somehow it wasn't mentioned or overlooked that 1871, the Red Stockings.
Yeah, Capper McGee.
Yeah, exactly. And,
one of those weird, an 1800s baseball player just
Happy
by their
Bell
name.
Happy Bell got it out to third.
And they didn't even have gloves back then. They just had their hands, and that was baseball, old school baseball. That, by the way, the Padres. Nobody told me they were coming up this fast on my Dodgers.
Yeah,
your Dodgers.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
That's nauseating. Also, the the Dave Roberts decision to not bunt at that moment is getting a little bit of criticism. So you had runners at first and second with no outs, and you've got Shohei Ohtani on deck, and you've got Mookie Betts in the hole, and you're down two runs.
Yeah.
You got your eight hitter, who was nine hitter up, and why didn't you bunt? And he goes, well, he was. And then we got to go down 0-1. He tried to bunt on the first pitch and couldn't do it. It didn't happen. And then all of a sudden they thought the defense was playing up, so maybe he could hit like something into the gap. And obviously that didn't happen because it was a game-ending triple play.
By the way, I will say, as we're talking about exciting plays, the worst play in baseball is a strikeout bunt attempt on the third strike on a foul bunt. That is the lamest play that ever existed.
I was going to say a balk, but that's pretty good too.
Balks are pretty bad.
Balks,
game-ending balk? Oh, God.
The worst. Balks also, you can slow down the film to, within a millionth of a second. Sometimes I still can't see it.
Same.
It's one of those things. It's so hard for me to tell.
But when a guy fouls off the first two bunts, everyone knows, dude, you better not square up one more time. This is just painful to watch. I hate that play. That being said, Dodgers, you were warning me, Maggie, no pitching. I like this. I watched last night, there was a documentary on ESPN about my Dodgers and the Yankees. I feel like baseball kind of needs these Dodgers to step it up and be good. I'm sorry. This is
baseball. I think the Dodgers need it. They spent $1 billion this year.
Los Angeles needs it.
I think baseball needs Shohei to do some stuff in the postseason this year. So this Padres renaissance is really not helping anyone except for my buddy Jesse Agler.
Like those Padres, the Orioles clinched a playoff spot with a 5-3 win at Yankee Stadium, and the Astros wrapped up the AL West 4-3 over the Mariners. Houston is the first team to start a 162-game season at 7-19 and recover to make the playoffs. And lastly from the Diamond, the latest proof that the Pirates are cheap and heartless. Veteran DH Rowdy Tellez designated for assignment yesterday, essentially released. The team saying it was to give a young player a look over the last week of the season, but it's far more likely that Pittsburgh just simply didn't want to pay a $200,000 bonus. Tellez needed four more at-bats to earn it.
Oh.
Yeah, the New York Liberty are safely in the WNBA Final Four after finishing off their two-game sweep of Atlanta, 91-82 in Brooklyn. Sabrina Ionescu tying the franchise postseason record with 36 points and throwing in 9 assists.
Honestly, it's just doing whatever it takes to win. Understanding I'm capable of scoring, but knowing that getting my teammates open and good looks is a huge kind of part of what I do and pride myself on.
Up next for the Liberty are the Aces, who beat them in the finals last season. Vegas got its two-game sweep of Seattle, 83-76. Asia Wilson, 24 points and 13 boards. The LA Sparks fired head coach Kurt Miller yesterday after two seasons, 25-55 in those 2 years, including a league-worst 8-32 this year. Andrew Jebediah Dalton III has one last weapon for Act 2 as Panthers QB. Adam Thielen's now on IR because of a hamstring injury suffered Sunday in Vegas. And UNLV quarterback Matthew Slucka says he will not play again this season in what appears to be an NIL dispute. UNLV's 3-0, by the way, two Power 4 wins, so they might have been a playoff contender. Still could be, but now their starting quarterback is walking away.
Wow.
Back to you.
I didn't realize UNLV was in that kind of possibility that they could be the 12th team.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Houston, they beat Kansas, so they, not the cream of the crop, but those are still two up wins for them, and they're 3-0 altogether.
It's crazy that someone in Las Vegas can't find money under their couch to give this kid. This is the place, I feel like, of all places that would be able to find, you need a quick $500,000? Okay, we can call Uncle Sal.
This is not Greg Anthony and Anderson Hunt in a hot tub, UNLV. This is UNLV football, just so we can be clear. And by the way, Randall Cunningham is went to UNLV, right? And I owe a signed jersey, an Eagles jersey. You know, Randall's in Philly this week, Maggie.
Ooh, could this be the time we finally get Phil's jersey signed?
Well, I don't know. He's doing appearances with Jaws in South Jersey and Philly. I was thinking about that last night. I don't know. How do we find Randall Cunningham? He's like, we do need to pay off. We talk about payoff bets.
Right.
We need Randall Cunningham to sign this jersey, and the guy is 90 miles away right now.
So, wait, I've got an idea.
Yeah.
We know some people in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Right? We know people who can get things done in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Do we think that maybe we can ask one of those people that we know if they could get it done for us?
Wait, but how do we get them the jersey? Well, I guess we could mail it.
Great question. overnight it.
overnight it. And I'm not sure. Randall has never really cooperated. He might not know this whole thing is going on, so we have to find him. All right, well, we try to pay off our bets, including, has breakfast been ordered, EJ?
Breakfast has been ordered.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, boy.
Wait, can I ask a question, too? Yeah. I know we got to go to break. You're asking if UNLV can just come up with the money to try to pay the quarterback because he's in an NIL dispute.
Yeah.
Is Guy Fieri the most famous non-athlete UNLV alum?
Kenny Mayne.
Or, hey, he ain't more famous. That's a good
I'm just
one.
Kidding. Ooh. No.
Who's more famous, Kenny Mayne or Guy Fieri?
Yeah, Guy Fieri. I was joking. Yeah. I can't think of
probably
any other.
Probably Guy Fieri.
But the athletes, I mean, Larry Johnson.
Be different, but yeah.
But if it's a non-athlete, is there anyone else who can just pony up? I mean, can we just head to Flavortown for this one?
I mean, I love Food Network. Guy Fieri is on like a max contract. Like the deal, like they report the deals he signs. He's like on a 3-year, like $60, $70 million deal. He definitely has the money.
Yeah, but when you think of a spending program in college football, UNLV doesn't jump to mind. I mean, if this kid's good enough to play in a major conference, I'm sure those guys have 10 times the money UNLV
has. Well, maybe
has.
If Guy Fieri would get out behind the fryer and stop gatekeeping all these millions of dollars, maybe UNLV would have a little bit of upgrade.
I got another. Jimmy Kimmel's a UNLV grad. He's got more money than Guy Fieri. Let's fix this. Throw some Kimmel cash at Matthew Sluka.
There's no excuse for this team not to be able to pay this quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, you know how this works. He probably got calls from the big boys if he's as good as you say he is, Bogus.
He was good in the Patriot League. I didn't think he was going to be good like this in big time college football.
So he's completed 21 of 48 passes for 318, 6 touchdowns, and 1 pick this season. I mean,
then throw his rushing totals out there. He runs a lot, too.
He runs a lot. So maybe one of the major conferences is looking at him. That's the deal with NIL. Like, there's always a better deal out there. That's why everyone is transferring.
But not mid-season.
Right. That's the
well, yeah,
thing.
But I think this is going to be a trend, by the way. Guys are going to play with that redshirt thing so they can play till. There's a lot of reasons to stay in college. I mean, a lot of guys are going to get paid way more in college. So you might as well get as much eligibility as possible. Speaking of, by the way, Maggie, we have to take a break, but like me, we have a local college football team in Philadelphia, and people are concerned. Are you aware of this, Maggie?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Penn State?
Philly college football, there's a lot going on, and we're going to talk about that next right here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Big point of contention on the Maggie and Perloff Show, is Penn State football a Philadelphia team? Now, I grew up in Philadelphia, and every Sunday morning, Joe Paterno's brother would host a show recapping the day before his game. It was an hour long. It was the greatest thing ever. I grew up a Penn State fan, loved the uniforms. Maggie does not give me Penn State because it's out near Harrisburg. but you know what, Mag? Josh in Philly, one of our best callers, is with me. He understands what it's like to grow up a Nittany Lion fan. Josh, I don't even want to talk about this year. Penn State is a Philly team, right?
Hi, Mr. Perloff. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Mrs. Gray.
Hello.
Yeah, I mean, everyone I talk to around here, at least, everyone seems to love the Nittany Lions. You know, we watch them every Saturday. We watch any highlights of them. We listen to anything about them. Even though it's not right in Philly, you know, but I mean, to me, I think everyone I know at least loves them.
And what's the level of optimism this year?
Okay, well, my question was that it seems for the last how many years, they're always able to blow through, like, Kent State, Northwestern, and they just blow them down. But when it comes to Michigan State, Ohio State, they just seem to not get it done. I'm just wondering when you would think the next time they're going to at least go to the national championship.
National Oof. Championship. I don't know. I mean, I pick them, Josh, thanks for the call. I pick them to go to the college football playoff. I pick them to actually be one of the low seeds, but to be in as an at-large bid. I did not think Illinois was going to be this good this year. So now you got Illinois fresh off of their win over Nebraska, and they've got a couple signature wins. They beat Kansas also, which I guess is not just not a great team this year. But anyway, this is going to be a tough one. And then the schedule doesn't really lighten up. This is no longer like, oh, you just got to, you know, it's going to be one or two. Then you have USC looming in 2 weeks. We'll see how they rebound after losing to Michigan. And then, of course, you've got Ohio State out there on November 2nd. So I like that the offense has definitely changed with Penn State, Pearl, but and it's a lot more explosive. But at the same time, I can't make any promises to Josh and the other Philadelphia faithful that Penn State's going to be much different this year.
Well, I don't know about USC really scares you. I feel like Penn State's going to be a big favorite in that game. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything. And I know they're favored against Illinois. Yeah.
The USC game's in L.A., though.
Yeah, I know. I still think it's... Isn't Penn State at least a touchdown favorite in that game? Or, well, we'll see what happens with Illinois. Penn State's a big favorite in this game. They're 17.5-point favorites. Like, they really have no excuse not to win every game except for Ohio State, who's given them a lot of problems. Ohio State, the defensive coordinator there, seems to have Penn State's number. I agree with you. I think this is a great... as long as they don't trip up against Illinois, I think that they should be able to run all over USC. We just saw what Michigan did to them. This feels like a great opportunity to make the playoff.
Yeah, I think, quite frankly, I think that Penn State is one of those teams where when the playoff goes to 12 teams, now you're saying, all right, no excuses. Yeah. When it's four teams and you're getting Ohio State and Michigan in year after year, or just Ohio State and then a bunch of SEC schools, then, all right, you can forgive it. Now with 12, I think that alumni base is expecting, that fan base is expecting a trip to the playoff.
The whole city of brotherly love is into
it. Yeah, obviously.
By the way, Ohio State, you know, with all these pros, like this crazy, I mean, the entire team's going to get drafted. We still have no idea how good they are either. Like, usually Ohio State and Michigan own Penn State. I don't know this year. I think that Ryan Day and company, that, do you watch them and say, like, oh, they're unbeatable? I even think Penn State has a chance there.
I mean, how could you know? They won their first game 52-6, then 56-0, then 49-14.
Like, yeah, but Marshall was moving the ball on them a lot. Because it was on Fox Noon game, I had to watch that game, and it wasn't 49-14. Yeah, the final score is big, but every game they've started off kind of slow. I'm not sure. Nobody knows how good their quarterback, Will Howard, really is. Their receivers are great. They have all these names on defense. I don't know. I just feel... Bottom line, I agree with you. Like, Penn State, if they're not going to do it this year, then I'm not sure what James Franklin is doing. At least get to a 12-team playoff. He's obviously a very effective coach, but I think what Josh Billy was getting into, do you trust him in a big game?
No.
Yep.
Why would I?
It's a lot of reasons not to. All right, we got a lot coming up. You're going to be surprised at this, Maggie. The Cowboys are talking a lot. It's not just Jerry, though. We have some CeeDee Lamb, a lot of that going on. And I'm so excited for the Great Debate. It's Great Debate Wednesday. We have a poll out there, what's the most exciting play in baseball? But we do a poll every time we do the Great Debate. And I feel like I'm going to win this game, this poll. And I know the point is that we debate it, but sometimes you have a choice that's so awesome. How are you feeling about your Great Debate coming up next hour?
Okay, so obviously I feel really good about it. Yeah. I feel that my answer is like the correct answer.
But you always feel that way, though.
That's true. I'm very confident in my selections. However, I am coming off a win. And two, I would feel a lot better about my choice for this upcoming Great Debate if I could erase what everyone watched on Monday. Does that make sense?
That's a good hint. That's a good hint.
So if you could just like Men in Black this thing, like erase your brain from what you saw Monday, I think I would have a much better shot at winning our Great Debate.
What did you win with last week?
Bob Uecker is the funniest athlete ever.
Did you check the final results? You were winning during the show. We have to get into this because I'm not going to take an L that easily. I mean, I did on our show bet about whether WNBA would get $2 million, but I'm coming to get you this week, Maggie. I think I got you. We'll see. We're going to do Great Debate next. Then we're going to get into the Cowboys later in the show. We're talking to Damian Harris, former Alabama running back. Georgia, Alabama coming up this week. Oh, that is going to be so exciting. lot to do here. Maggie and Perloff show, including your calls. We'll be right back.